It's all in the middle of Parak Beis Pasuk Hey. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. So that has connotations. That he was from Shevet Yehuda. His name is Mordechai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, Ishimini, which seems as if he was from Shevet Binyamin. The Gemara asked a contradiction. We had a couple answers. One answer was it was a title of respect. Mukhtar bin Musama. It's a title of respect. We said another answer, there was a machlaikis. His father was from Binyamin, his mother was from Yehuda. We spoke about that a little bit, that it's also called coming from Yehuda. Mukhtar bin Musama. There's too much to return. The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon has a kasha on the whole Gemara. But what's strange about calling him Ish Yehudi? That doesn't mean he's from Shevet Yehuda. Ish Yehudi is he's a Yid. Yehudi is a Yid. What's Shadon Gemara's question? And what's Shadon Gemara's teretz? Mukhtar bin Musamaya. It's a title of respect. I think that's how Rashi learns. It's a title of respect. You call somebody something that he's not because you respect him. Manushav, if Yehudi doesn't mean from Shevet Yehuda, then what was the kasha? And if Yehudi does mean he's from Shevet Yehuda, is it because you respect him? You say he's from Shevet Yehuda when he's not. There's what to learn about this Gemara. So we started this a little bit. The Vilna Gaon says the Gemara's launching point is from the word Ish. It says Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi is mashmi. He was a tsar. He was an officer. He was royal. Ish means chashivas. Ish Yehudi means he was like a ruler over Yehuda, and Ish Yehudi means he was a ruler over Binyamin. And that's something which is quite an accomplishment. How can you be two things at the same time? You're either the ruler of Yehuda, then you're not the ruler over Binyamin. If you're the ruler of Binyamin, you're not the ruler of Yehuda. And to say he ruled over both at the same time wouldn't answer the question, because then it would say Ish Yehudi v'Yamini. You would put them together. In the beginning of the pasuk it says Ish Yehudi, the end of the pasuk says Ish Yamini. So, he wasn't both simultaneously. So the Vilna Gaon says that's what the Gemara is asking. Mukhtar bin Musam haya, he was crowned. Nimusim is plural. Nimusim, he was crowned with a double crown. The Vilna Gaon has a different understanding in the words Mukhtar bin Musim. He doesn't learn like Rashi that it was a title of respect, a title of honor. He says Mukhtar bin Musam is he wore two crowns. In the time when there were 12 Shvatim in Klal Yisrael, Yehuda and Binyamin, they lived side by side, but they were separate Shvatim. Yehuda was one of the prominent Shvatim, but there were 12 Shvatim. And Mordechai was from Shevet Binyamin, and he was a royal, he had a position of honor. He had some kind of position of respect among Shevet Binyamin. He was Ish Yamini. So Ish Yamini is referring to his former position as a nobleman. He had a high position among Shevet Binyamin. And that's the end of the pasuk. So the end of the pasuk is referring to his former position. Ish Yehudi is his present position. What happened? What happened that he changed hats? He became from an Ish Yamini to an Ish Yehudi. Sancheriv, there was a king. He was the king of Assyria, the king of Ashur. His name was Sancheriv. Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, captured. He waged war against the 10 tribes. He captured them. He exiled them. There were a few stragglers left. He didn't get all of them. What remained from Klal Yisrael, and what still remains from Klal Yisrael, is Shevet Yehuda in its entirety, as much as we could say that, Shevet Binyamin, Shevet Levi, because Shevet Levi was fortunately around the Mikdash at the time. That's where they are, and the Mikdash was in Yehuda. It wasn't among the 10 tribes. And then there were small groups of the other Shvatim. The 10 Shvatim ceased to exist as an entity. even though there were remnants of the other Shvatim, they're no longer known as members of Shevet Shimon.
When was this happening?
This was prior to the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash.
They just left?
No, the Sancheriv exiled them. So that was his strategy. He used to transplant. He believed in transfer. And then Yehuda got a prominence that it never had before. I mean, Yehuda was always prominent. It was Chashev, and the kings came from Yehuda. Beis Hamikdash was built partially in his chelik. But when Yehuda was one of 12, that was one thing. When 10 Shvatim went into exile, and all you have left is Yehuda, Binyamin, Levi, and then these stragglers, so then Yehuda became had more of a central role. That's when Klal Yisrael became known as Yehudim. Until then, each person was known by his Shevet's name. But once the bulk of Klal Yisrael was dragged off, so then they no longer had identified as Shvatim. And everybody was Yehudim. And Mordechai got a promotion. He was a Gadol HaDor. He got a promotion. A well-deserved promotion. Prior to Sancheiro's taking over the Ten Shvatim, he was a nobleman. He was the royalty of Shevet Binyamin. He was known as Yishimini. And subsequently, following the war, so he was made, he was elevated, he ruled over all of Klal Yisrael. He was looked up to by all of Klal Yisrael. By Shevet Binyamin, by Shevet Yehuda, by Levi, Shevet Levi, and by the remnants of all the other Shvatim, and that's where he got the title Ish Yehudi. So Ish Yehudi doesn't mean that he ruled, that he was from Shevet Yehuda. Ish Yehudi means he ruled over the remnant of Klal Yisrael, whatever was left after the conquest of Sancheiriv.
Wasn't and that's how the Melech Yehuda though?
Yes, I'm saying, use the word melech, or royalty, or nobility, it's that they people look up to him and they acknowledge that he has power over them, as a Talmud Chacham. His power over the people is as a Talmud Chacham. He was the Gadol HaDor. I mean, he wasn't a melech, a melech from Shevet Yehuda. He wasn't a melech in that sense. He was a tsar. An officer, a high officer, in the pecking order of Klal Yisrael. Like exactly what it was, I don't know. Such a Shehudi. And the fourth pshat. And so that's how the Vilna Gaon understands the words, that he was crowned with Nimusin. He was crowned with honors because he had two honors. He was once the nobility of Shevet Binyamin, and then he became the nobility of all of Klal Yisrael. That's how he learns the Gemara. So there's two pshatim in the Gemara. The fourth pshat is the Gemara. Let's go out the Gemara. Then what brings another pshat?
I re-answer the question, the Vilna Gaon's question on the Gemara.
So that answers it. The Gemara's not asking why he's called a Yehudi. The Gemara's asking why he's called an Ish Yehudi.
Oh.
And it answers because he was an Ish Yehudi. He was the ruler of Klal Yisrael. Rabbanan Amri. Rabbanan say this on Yud Beis Amri Beis Maseches Megillah. Mishpachas Mitzkar Zubazu. There were families. There was a family feud. Megillah Yud Beis Amud Beis. There was a family feud. Mishpachas Yehuda Imeris. Mishpachas Yehuda means Shevet Yehuda. The family of the tribe Yehuda. This is what they would say. Anagarim de Mishalad Mordechai. I was the cause of Mordechai's birth. Shevet Yehuda was the cause of Mordechai's birth. Now, how did that happen? He wasn't from Shevet Yehuda. I mean, this view holds that his mother wasn't from Shevet Yehuda either. He wasn't from Shevet Yehuda. Delekatle David l'Shimi ben Gera. Because David HaMelech didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was Mordechai's ancestor. Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi. David HaMelech didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. We'll go into the historical background in a moment. So Shevet Yehuda is taking the credit from Mordechai, because if David HaMelech, who was from Shevet Yehuda, had killed Shimi ben Gera, then Mordechai never would have been born. So Shevet Yehuda gets the credit. Mishpachas Binyamin Amra, the family of Shevet Binyamin says, Minakasi comes from me. That's a claim.
How does that work? How does he come from Yehuda and Binyamin?
He comes from Binyamin because he's descended from Binyamin. He's called Yehudi because they're responsible for him being alive. When someone gives you life, you're called by that name, similar to someone that's adopted.
His ancestor is supposed to be killed by David?
He was Chayav Misa. Let's go into this a little bit. Let's go a little further in the Gemara first. Rava Amar. Rava says, Knesset Yisrael Amar L'Idik Gisa. Until now we're discussing what Shevet Yehuda said, what Shevet Binyamin said. Let's see what Klal Yisrael says. What does Klal Yisrael have to say on this matter? What do we have to say? Knesset Yisrael says, Uma Asa L'Yehudi. They're holding up as an example. Look, and take a look and see what a Yehudi did for me. And I was paid back by someone from Shevet Binyamin. What does that mean? The Gemara explains. Ma'asel Yehudi. Take a look what someone from Shevet Yehuda did. Le'katle David l'Shimi. Because David didn't kill Shimi ben Gera, d'Shialad b'nei Mordechai. The Mordechai was born. D'Mikdei b'Haman. He took revenge against Haman. So look what Shevet Yehuda did. Because David HaMelech had compassion on Shimi ben Gera and he didn't kill him, Mordechai was born, who took vengeance. He took revenge against Haman. Mashiach Leimini. And look how I got paid back by Shevet Binyamin. Yeah.
Well, be killed.
David had his way of getting him killed. Mashiach Leimini. Leikat Leishal Agag. There's two individuals that didn't kill. David didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. And Shaul did not kill Agag. Two kings that didn't kill. David HaMelech from Shevet Yehuda didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. And because of that, Mordechai was born. And Shaul HaMelech did not kill Agag. You know who Agag's grandson was? Haman. The Yishal Mene Haman. The Mitzayel Yisrael. He caused Klal Yisrael Tzar.
So what was their heter for not killing him?
All right, so you want to go into this now, right? Okay. There's one more pshat why Mordechai was called a Yehudi. Is because anyone that's kafir b'avodah zarah, they denies the legitimacy, the existence, and the validity of avodah zarah, is called a Yehuda. It's called a Yehudi. Similarly to Hanania, Mishael, Azariah, they're called Yehudayin. There's a pasuk of the Neem, Iti govern Yehudayin, that those that deny and oppose Avodah Zarah are called Yehudayin. So he was called Yehudi because he denied Avodah Zarah. A little bit of history, Maisa. Okay, there's two Maisa. Shimi ben Gera. He was an Avi. He was a Gadol. But he took the wrong side. It's well known that David HaMelech had a son. His name is Avshalom. He's a rebellious son. And Avshalom proclaimed himself a monarch in the life of his father. He proclaimed himself, and he had Gedalim that were Tamech. He had supporters among the Gedaliyelim. And one of his supporters was Shimei ben Gera. And Avshalom was wildly successful.
Why would he support him?
He was an Adam Gadol. They held it was Ritzon Hashem that he should be the Melech.
Even when David's still alive?
Even when David's alive.
What was wrong with David?
I didn't like David.
Because David was going to give the Malukah to someone else. So they had to support Avshalom for him to get the Malukah. They had Nevi'im. They had Rashi Sanhedrin. It was like, this was a very serious threat to Malchus versus David, and it's a very serious threat to the formation and the emergence of Mashiach and to Tikkun Olam. I mean, if Avshalom would have been Matzliach, then we'd be finished. There'd be no way of this world ever coming to Shlemus. Shimei ben Gera was a Navi. Shimei ben Gera was a Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, we all know Shlomo HaMelech was the Chacham Mikol Adam. And this was his Rebbe. Yeah. And David HaMelech had to run away. He had to run for his life from his own son. And he came across Shimei ben Gera, who supported Avshalom. I mean, there's so much that we don't understand about this, but there were tainus against David HaMelech. That according to their perception, and it was a godlistic perception, David HaMelech didn't deserve to continue his line, you know, only through Avshalom. There were things that Pashat were unfathomable by human seichel. You know, David and Basheva. David was Kamat Nechayrim. David's honor was only vindicated after he died. David said that the Chachamim ripped him open and you know, blood was gushing forth from him. Their mamash like tore him to pieces in his lifetime. No. And Shimei ben Gera, upon seeing David, he's running away. He's running from his life. So he stones him. He throws stones at him and he curses him. Shimei ben Gera was a descendant of Shaul. Shimei ben Gera had the view that David was unworthy to be the Melech. Shimei ben Gera was from the Zera of Malucha. He was a grandson of the King Shaul. Baruch Hashem, David HaMelech was returned. Avshalom was killed. David HaMelech was returned to his seat of Malucha. Shimei ben Gera stoned David. He didn't kill him. He stoned him and he cursed him.
Did he throw him over a cliff or he threw rocks?
He threw rocks at him. When David HaMelech regained the throne, so David's general, Avishai, the son of Tzruya, Avishai ben Tzruya, he wanted to execute Shimei ben Gera. Shimei ben Gera is Chayiv Misa. He's a married Vamalchus. It's Chayiv Misa. Normally, you're not Chayiv Misa. One is not Chayiv Misa for throwing stones at someone or for cursing someone, but when it's done to a Melech, it's a Chayiv Misa. So he wanted to kill him.
What exactly is Marid B'Malchus?
Well, this for sure was Marid B'Malchus.
What do you have to do to
him? Not, just go against his will, his express command.
Shimei ben Gera, Shaul becomes the king. There's some people that say that after Shmuel announced him as king, people that are laughing about him, they're making jokes, and he
didn't answer
that.
David's peeps wanted to kill him, no?
They said that they should have been put to death.
So he was Michael then. A Melech is normally not allowed to be a Melech. A Melech is normally... Yes. I mean, a Melech has wide-reaching powers. He could execute anyone without a Bezin.
Wait, who wanted to kill this guy, Shimei ben Gera?
Avishai, the son of Tzeruya, who is David HaMelech's general. David HaMelech says, leave him. This pasuk is a pasuk which... It tells us a lot about David.
You seen brachos?
It tells a lot about David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, leave him. Why? Because he cursed me and he wished me evil. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his evil and turned it into good. Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. Baruch Hashem, Avshalom was not Matzliach.
What happened to Avshalom?
He was shot in the heart with arrows. He was killed. His hair got, he was riding, his hair got caught in the branch of a tree. Mamish Anais. So, you know, He cursed me, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects his loyal servants. And in return for the curse, in place of the curse, I got only bracha. Let him be. He let him live. Until the times of Shaul. Until the times of Shlomo. He told Shlomo right before he died, Shimon ben Gera, your Rebbe, told his son Shlomo, your Rebbe, Shimon ben Gera, he cursed me when I was running away from Avshalom. He said, Asek kechach masecha, you're a wise man, my son, Shlomo, take care of it. I'm sure you could figure out a way. Make sure that he doesn't die a peaceful death. And Shlomo b'chachmasai decreed on Shimon ben Gera that he could remain alive as long as he stays within Yerushalayim.
And then he left.
And he left. I think we mentioned this before. That when you're commanded not to leave Yerushalayim, it's a very big nisayim to overcome. To be in Yerushalayim because you're commanded to be there. You're in Yerushalayim, you want to stay in Yerushalayim, people can stay in Yerushalayim their whole life. When there's an express command from the king that you mustn't leave, it's very difficult. And he died. He was executed. But he lived long enough to have a child. And that makes all the difference. Had he been put to death in David HaMelech's time, Mordechai never would have been born. David HaMelech wasn't mevater. He didn't overlook the crime. You can't overlook the crime. A king is not allowed to overlook the crime. Melech shemachal ha-kvaydei. Ein kvaydei machal. A king is not allowed to be Michael. It's not his covet to be Michael. It's the covet of the Melucha. The Melucha of Klal Yisrael has its own covet. It's not his. Can't be Michael. Klal Yisrael needs to have the covet of the Melucha. But he let him live long enough to have a child. Shaul HaMelech. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you have to make a king. You're going to wipe out a Amalek, build a Beis HaMikdash. They made a king, King Shaul, from Sheva ben Yamin. Hashem says, okay, now wipe out a Amalek. He wipes out a Amalek. He wipes him out. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't leave anything that moves, shoot it. If it doesn't move, shoot it anyway. Man, women, child, parakeet, everything. Slobber worms. There shouldn't be a single worm left that belongs to Amalek. Nothing. Shaul HaMelech leaves the animals alive. Shaul HaMelech leaves Agag, the king, alive. Shaul HaMelech leaves numerous things alive. Now the Malbim says he was planning on killing them. He left the animals alive, but he was going to use them for kabbanas. That's killing. He left Agag alive, but he was planning on making a public hanging. That's killing him. He didn't kill him right away. He didn't make a whole thing. Make a grand order de fe, tie him to the cross, put him, light him up. It's a bigger Kiddush Hashem. My mom explains this parasha. It was L'shem Shemayim. Shaul was a tzaddik. It was L'shem Shemayim. He never dreamed, had an inkling of not listening to the Ritzon Hashem. Hashem said kill, he was going to kill. Just he was going to kill it in the way that he thought would be best, but he was wrong. His act was a mirror image of David HaMelech. David HaMelech did the biggest chesed to Klal Yisrael by killing Shimon ben Gera or having him put to death at a later date, and Shaul HaMelech did the worst thing he could have done to Klal Yisrael by having Agag killed at a later date.
Why was he a kid?
Agag used the time in prison.
They're both wrong.
No, David wasn't wrong. Shaul was wrong. Because he saved Klal Yisrael.
But the act just happened to be the end result.
No, there was a difference in the circumstances. Shaul HaMelech got an express command to kill, and when you get an express command to kill, you don't make cheshbonis. Even if they're righteous cheshbonis, to push off the killing.
King also has that.
David HaMelech never had an express command to kill Shimon ben Gera immediately.
Yeah, but God told him to do it.
God told both of them to do
it. No, David HaMelech was never commanded by God to kill Shimon ben Gera. And that's the difference.
As a king, isn't he commanded to do it right away?
No.
He's not.
No.
As long as you have the result.
The king has the right to.
As long as you have the result that there's a fear, so the king has latitude in determining what manner that fear takes. You can't be Michael. But he could choose the manner and the means in which to do it.
So he knew that from Shimon ben.
So what was Shalom Melech's Keshbon? He made a kavod. The Gemara says he made a kavod chaimer from Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa, you know the Egla Rufa. It's a whole kapara rite, a whole kapara ceremony. If a dead body is found in the outskirts of a city and no one knows who killed him, so the Zikne Yair have to go through this kapara process for the entire people of the city that perhaps they could have stopped the murder and they have culpability in the murder or the death. And you see how much the Torah is makshiv, how much the Torah values human life. Do you have one person that dies accidentally or an isolated incident, and everyone has responsibility. There's blood on their hands. It's the famous blood on their hands. So how could you kill out innocent creatures, and even if the people did chatayim, so you kill the people out because they're not innocent, but the behemoths, what they do wrong? We spoke about this when we were learning Megillus, we were learning Sefer Yain. What the animals do wrong, if the people die, the animals, what they do wrong, the Gemara has this as a kasha by the Mabul, the Gemara Sanhedrin, and Daf Kufches. As a kasha on the Mabul, that if the people did Averis, why the animals have to get destroyed? The Gemara has this as a kasha.
You say because the animals fed off what the people did. And
that's not what the Gemara answers. That's a Medrash. You're right. Sorry. That's a very good answer. The Gemara gives a different answer. But they asked the same question. The question is asked. So Shalom Melech had all these Makairis from Tyra that he shouldn't kill them. He had Makairis from Tyra. He didn't do it because of human compassion. He was a God Ladar. He did it from Tyra.
God.
But Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you do it right away. That's a chiluk of the tzivui, is that every moment you constantly have this chiyuv. You can't put it off.
Did it go against the Torah?
No. Not generally. There's by Elio and Har Carmel. There are very few exceptions, and there's rules, there's guidelines for it. It can't be in areas of kriya or avodah zarah. There will never be a true nevuah for a person to worship avodah zarah. That will never happen. Elio had a nevuah that they could worship in a bama on top of a mountain. It didn't have to be in the Mishkan. What? Achia Shilani went with Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeah. He signed. You have to listen to him, even if he tells you to do Avodah Zarah. It means that you have to listen to him even in something which is so simple to you that you shouldn't. You have to. But he was, he didn't think that Yeravim ben Nevat was going to make Kans Klal Yisrael do Avodah Zarah. That's the Pashup Shot.
So should he have not wrote it?
Oh, he definitely was wrong. I mean, that's another Indian. The Pashup Shot is that even something which is so simple as Avodah Zarah, you have to listen to him. But he didn't think that he was going to use that to get people to worship Avodah Zarah. You have to listen to me, even if I tell you that you have to jump into fire because of me. That's the Pashup Shot. I mean, there's more to it, but that's not a topic right now. So Rabbi says, see over here. You see over here that Mordechai killed Haman.
He fixed up Shaul.
And he saved Klal Yisrael, and he also fixed up Shaul. He redeemed him. And who gave Sheva ben Yamin the ability to redeem Sheva ben Yamin? Yehuda. So Yehuda gave ben Yamin the wherewithal to redeem themselves. That's godless. So now you can understand why he's called Ish Yehudi. Understand? Sheva Yehuda. David HaMelech from Sheva Yehuda gave Sheva ben Yamin the ability to redeem themselves. Well, yeah, according to some views, he was Malachi. He was one of the view.
Well, he passed in the dishes.
According to one view, he was a Navi.
Well, the whole Purim is
Nevuah.
Yom Tov from
Nevuah. Esther also had Nevuah. Esther also had Nevuah. And she found the Makar in the Torah also. Besides Nevuah, the Torah Shemek Sav has a remnant to Purim. So now you can understand the Gemara. Ru ma asali yamini, and mashilim li. Ru ma asali yehudi and mashilim li yamini. Look at what Shaul did, and look at what Mordechai is doing. Mordechai is a Yehudi. When the Gemara says what a Yehudi did for me, it's not just referring to David HaMelech, it's referring to Mordechai. David's a Yehudi, and Mordechai is also a Yehudi.
This is straight out in the Gemara, it
says? Yeah, the Gemara that we read before. This is Mamashah. It stretches through the generations. And the Mepharshim say, there's a targum on this pasuk. Hey, Baruch Hashem, because of lazy, we have it here. Targum's a little bit expanded. Gvar Chassid, it was a Chassid. Umayda, he acknowledges the source of things. Metzali Kadam Alaka Alame, and he davened to Hashem for his nation. So it seems to me he's explaining Ish Yehudi. He has another pshat on Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi is a chassid, someone that's maiden Hashem. This could be the last pshat we said. He's maiden a Kadosh Baruch Hu and kaifen a Avodah Zarah, because he uses lashon maiden. Maiden is Yehuda. So he's calling him. The Targum is calling, explaining. He's called Ish Yehudi because he's Maida. He's Maida. He acknowledges where the emes is, which is similar to the last pshat. We said he's kaifen of Avodah Zarah, and he davens. He's called Ish Yehudi because he davens for everyone. He davens for everyone. So if he davens for everyone, he should be called Ish Yehudi. So he davens for Yehuda. If he davens for Yehuda, he's called Yehuda. He was in Shushan Abira, and his name is Mordechai, and he's called Mordechai because there's a spice called Moradachia. I think it's called myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H, myrrh, frankincense and myrrh. So he's called Mordechai because I'm reading the Targum now, but this is also in the Gemara. The Targum and the Gemara say the same thing. He's called Mordechai because there's a spice called Moradachia, myrrh. He was the son of Yair. Yair was the son of Shimi. Shimi was the son of Gera. Gera was the son of Kish. From Sheva ben Yamin. And he was descendant from Shimi who cursed David. And Yair wanted to kill him. And David wouldn't let. And the Targum says that Mordechai saw Ruach Nevuah, that Mordechai and Esther are going to come out from him. Huh. He didn't kill Shimei because he saw with Nevuah. David HaMelech saw with Nevuah that Mordechai and Esther are going to... No, this is the Targum.
Wait, and so what is the place called Yehuda because of what place?
The Targum seems to say he's called Yehuda because he's a Maideh and a Mispal. He's a Maideh and a Mispal. And he didn't kill Shimon ben Gera right away because he saw with Nevuah, Ruach HaKadosh, the David was going to. I mean, the Mordechai and Esther were going to come out from Shimi. And he waited until Shimi had children. As soon as Shimi stopped having children, David told Shlomo, his son, to kill him. That's the Targum. Now, I think there's a medrash. Let me just see. That there are a lot of generations that I left out. Here. Yeah, there's a lot of generations missing. When the Megillah Starim says, he said, it says Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi. So the pasuk, it's mashed from the pasuk that Yair was the son of Shimi. There are about 10 generations between Yair and Shimi.
Really?
Yeah. Because the pasuk's not interested in telling us the lineage of Mordechai. It's trying to show us what we said before from the Gemara. I mean, the Megillah Stam asks Akasha. First of all, it skips out on all the generations. Second of all, it was trying to show us Mordechai's royal lineage. Why do you stop there? Go up to Shaul HaMelech. It sort of stops right before Shaul. It's curious.
How could Haman be Agag's grandson?
I said grandson just as a figure of speech. He was the same amount of generations. Probably even more, because Shaul was a generation before David. So the Megillah Stam says that the reason why these names are mentioned are not to trace the lineage of Mordechai. These names are mentioned specifically for the reason to show us that Mordechai is being misaken. He's fulfilling what Shaul failed to do. And that's why all the middle generations are left out, because the ones that are Mordechai ben Yair, that's important because that's his name. And then it goes to Shimi ben Kish, because Shimi is Shimi ben Gera. So the reason why it mentioned Shimi's name and not the other names is because we're referring to Shimi, that he was left alive after cursing David, and that enabled Mordechai to be born. So we mention Shimi's name, we don't mention any of the other names in between.
Shimi ben Kish and not Shimi ben Gera?
I know, it skips another generation there. I mean, it was ben Gera ben Kish, you know?
And also, who says this?
This is the Megillah Stam. I don't know, I don't know the answer to your question. And then the reason why it doesn't say Shaul HaMelech's name, I think that Kish was Shaul's father. I can check on it.
Significant.
I think it's Shaul ben Kish, which means it skips over Shaul. That would explain why it says Kish, because we want to show that we're skipping over Shaul. Why are we skipping over Shaul? Because he doesn't deserve to be mentioned over here. He's the cause of this mess. The whole Megillah is Esther, the Tsaris, the Sakana of Klal Yisrael, the entire Klal Yisrael was placed in a Matzav Sakana because of Shaul HaMelech. It's all due to him. Shaul put the whole Klal Yisrael in Sakana.
Say Shaul.
No, so when you're talking about the Tikkun, you don't say Shaul.
Oh, we're talking about,
you leave him out. Mordechai is the Tikkun.
So Shaul's like the bad man, even though he's not a bad
man. Yeah. And the Megillah Stam says that he was from both Shvatim. He was from Shevet Yehuda, and he was from Shevet Binyamin. Because he was from Shevet ben Yehuda, that gave him the rights to be a ruler, because the rulers are from Shevet Yehuda. And the salvation from Haman had to come from Shevet ben Yamin. Well, there's two reasons. One is because he should be misaken what his ancestor did. But also, Chazal tell us, Ein Zara Shel Esav Nifel Rak B'yad B'neha Shel Rachel. That the children of Esav are going to be dealt the death blow. They're going to fall in the hands of the children of Rachel. Now, we discussed this maybe once upon a time about the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. I think in Yain we must have discussed it. There is a Mashiach ben Yosef. There's a Mashiach from Rachel. And there's a Mashiach from Leah. And the blow against Edom, the blow against Esav, is going to be dealt by the descendants of Rachel. It's either Yosef or Binyamin. And Shaul was supposed to do that. That's why he was sent. That, you know, you wonder, why was the first king from Shevet Binyamin? Why don't we start out with Shevet Yehuda?
Why is it Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach?
What?
Why is it Mashiach ben Yosef and
Mashiach? There's different midas that the Mitzdayin and Shaul HaMelech had. You know, Binyamin was the Haskalah, and Yosef is more appropriate to the Gemara. Yosef represents the part of Klal Yisrael that survives intact in the years of Mitzrayim of this world. Esav went through Mitzrayim untouched, and there's a segment of Klal Yisrael that made it at the end. That's what Mashiach ben Yosef represents.
But Ephraim and Menashe are, so far as we know, gone.
There's a part of the Klal Yisrael is called Beis Yosef. That's one of the names of Klal Yisrael. There's a part of Yosef was a melech, you know, in the dreams. He was a melech over all the brothers.
Right.
So we are Yosef's nation. So even though as a shevet, Yosef ceases to exist, but whatever is left of Klal Yisrael is Yosef's nation. He ruled over all of us. So we are, you know, as long as there are those that they
right.
they have allegiance to Yosef, Yosef will never be truly be gone, as they say. We have allegiance to Yosef. He was our melech. He was the melech. In Mitzrayim, he was our melech. And now we're in Mitzrayim. So in Mitzrayim, he's our melech. We are the loyal subjects of Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
In Golis. It's, you know, in other words, what gives us the kayach to be in Golis and to remain with the degree of righteousness which we have, and it's not very much, but it's what we have, so we love it. The degree of tzitkas that we have, it's a very small spark, is because once upon a time we had a melech, Yosef, that inculcated this into us.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave over to us the ability to withstand it. So if we're still here, it's only because the Yosef in us are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So Yosef's alive. As a shevet, he's not. But as a person, he is. As a melech, he is. So I'll give you a couple of examples why Esav falls in the hands of Yosef. Number one, this is also the Gemara that all the brothers bow down to Esav. In Parshas Vayishlach, they all bow down to Esav. And when you bow down to Esav, that means you are going through the motions of acknowledging that he is your master. And that makes an impact. It makes an impact on the soul. It makes an impact on reality. Okay. That's you've now established the ground rules for the relationship. He's your master. And that's the way you're going to relate to him. And that is the way we relate to Esav nowadays. Very subdued, behind the scenes, we don't, you know, take them on full brunt. You see what happens when you take Esav on full brunt. They don't tolerate it. If you're subtle, you know, you low profile, you can get a lot accomplished. But with demonstrations and protests, they resent it. There's a lot of sinner. So that's been established. The only one that didn't bow down to Esav was Binyamin. He wasn't born yet. We'll see later. Mordechai wouldn't bow down to Haman. So Haman says, why won't you bow down to me? Your grandfather bowed down to my grandfather. They all bowed down to Esav. And Mordechai said, no, I'm not my grandfather. Haman, you have to relearn your history. He didn't. He wasn't there. He didn't bow down to Esav. And time, just as I mentioned, there's a lot of examples, but when it mentions when Esav finally met with Yaakov's family, it mentions the Shvatim and their mothers in that order. It means that the children were standing in front of the mothers. And then it says Yosef and his mother were Achronim. Yosef and his mother were the last. And it mentions Yosef's name before his mother. He stood in front of his mother. Esav shouldn't have any eye contact, any shekels whatsoever with his mother. It's just an example. You see that Yosef, out of all the Shvatim, well, Binyamin wasn't there, but Yosef, out of all the Shvatim,
mm-hmm.
is there to protect his mother, Klal Yisrael, the mother of Klal Yisrael, from any contact with Esav.
Mm-hmm.
So Mordechai, in order to be the one to topple Esav, and that's what's going on in Megillas Esther, Haman and Amalek, this Muhammad in Megillas Esther is the Muhammad between Amalek and Klal Yisrael. And that's the Muhammad of Esav and Yaakov. So the one to orchestrate that had to be from Rachel Imenu. So he had to be from Yehuda, because the claim to Malchus now is by Yehuda. It's not by Binyamin anymore. Shalom Melech lost it. It's not by Binyamin anymore. So he had to be from Shevet Yehuda, and he also had to be from Shevet Binyamin. And Mordechai was that combination. Like we said, it skips all the generations. It only mentions the Tikkun, and not Shaul. The Gemara Darshan is Mordechai's name. Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. Yair means to enlighten, to light up, to give hope. When one's eyes are dark, that means hope is lost, There's no future. You can't see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. When our eyes are filled with light, so that means that we see the Simcha, we see the Yeshua, we see the salvation. And the Gemara says that Mordechai lit up the eyes of Klal Yisrael with his Koyach HaTfilah. You know, we all like to focus on the intrigues and, you know, the interlocking pieces of the Megillah. But the Gemara says that's all fine and dandy, but what caused the pieces to work together in tandem and in such harmony, and that, you know, one detail, you know, worked so well with another one to produce this beautiful tapestry, was Mordechai's tefillah. You could do a hishtadlus. It could have a lot of chokhmah behind it. A tremendous amount of pikkus. But Mordechai's tefillah is what lit up the eyes of Klal Yisrael, and that's why he's called Ben Yair. He lit up the eyes of Klal Yisrael with his tefillah. Shimi is Hashem listened to his tefillah. So that means that Mordechai was the type of person that would daven the type of tefillah that Hashem would listen to. He was Shimi. And similarly, like Yishmael means Hashem is going to listen to his tefillah. So Mordechai was Ben Shimi. He was one that he had within him the tefillah that was going to be listened to. It's not enough just to daven. You have to daven a tefillah that's going to be listened to. You know, we say Yalev, Yavo, Yagia, Yirav, Yitzav, Yishama. There's many shlavim, there's many stages till we get to Vishama. Just because you daven doesn't mean that you get to Vishama. And Vishama just means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was mekabel it. Is Hashem going to act on it? Vipakei, Vizacher, Zechanei, Fiktanei. And Mordechai was Shimi. Kish has an element of chutzpah to it. Kish means to knock. He knocked on the doors of Rachamim. He knocked on them. That means he did an act that called attention. When you knock on the door, if you stand behind the door and you don't knock, so then no one on the inside knows you're there. If they happen to open the door and see you, they'll invite you in. But they don't know you're there. But if you knock, so that means I'm here, I need you, open up. So he did that. This is called Kish. The Vilna Gaon says Mordechai is called Mordechai al shem Maridichya. The spice called Maridichya, which we translated as myrrh.
How do you spell that?
Mem reishit aleph, dalet chaf yud aleph, Maridichya. The Vilna Gaon says we bring a carbon, karbanis, are referred to as ishe reyach nichayach. The burning of the carbon. It creates a pleasant aroma that it rises up in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol inhales the aroma of the carbon and is mismali ratzon, he's filled with goodwill, and he grants us benevolence and loving kindness as a result of this aroma of the karbanis. Chazal, you know, in the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Gemara says, Tfilas b'makim tmidim tiknum. We don't have kabbana, so what does that? Tfila does it. Instead of us burning an actual carbon and the aroma of the carbon going up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it's our tfilas that bring that aroma in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You realize we're not talking about a physical aroma. And the smell of burning meat doesn't smell all that great. The aroma of bringing a carbon is the effects of somebody that's going through the motions of burning himself on a mizbeach. You know, the animal's in place of the person. The Ramban says the animal's in place of the person. And that's a beautiful aroma. That you're willing to take yourself and burn yourself, l'kavod Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem b'chasdo, he says, don't do it yourself. You could do it with something that's dear to you, something that costs you money. But still, the act of bringing a carbon has a beautiful aroma to it. And the tefillah is also, the tefillah is an act of self-negation. True tefillah is when you daven, the only reality that exists when you daven is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. True tefillah is very hard to get to reach that level. It's called Mesiras Nefesh. You know, like the Svar Makdashim say when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you're supposed to have kavana of what the words mean. That's basic. But on top of that, or to enhance that, in addition to that, you're supposed to and picture in your mind that there's a big fire in front of you, and someone's saying, you know, I want to rip you away from, someone's trying to rip you away from Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, and they're giving you a choice. You know, either forsake Hashem or jump into the fire, and you're supposed to envision yourself going into the fire. Tefillah is karbanos. It is karbanos. In tefillah, you're makir of yourself. The same way with the karban. The difference is you don't have that physical act of bringing the Beis HaMikdash. The Vilnagad says that's why Mordechai is Maridichya, because Mordechai, his midah was the midah of tefillah. He lit up the eyes of Klal Yisrael with tefillah. So he's a fine aroma that goes up in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and Hashem smells Mordechai's tefillah. That's why he's called Maridachya. Under one more pasuk. Pasuk Vav, moving right along here.
Nice fast pace. We did one
buzzer
today. Half
buzzer,
sorry.
Asher Hagla Yerushalayim. He was exiled from Yerushalayim. Im Agayla with the exile Asher Hagla saw, which was exiled. Im Yechaniah Melech Yehuda. So it's towards the end of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, Yechaniah was after Yehoyakim was Yehoyachin and then Tzidkiyahu. So Yechaniah would be talking about the second king to go into exile. Asher Hegla Nevuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. There seems to be a repetition of word Hegla. Hagla Yerushalayim Imagela Shehaglasa Asher Hegla Nevuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. It talks about Galus three times. When he uses the word Galus four times, but it's talking about three times because Imagela Shehaglasa is one. The Vilnagad said, what's the purpose of this? What's it talking about? The Vilnagad says to show you the attachment, the love that Mordechai had for Eretz Yisrael. Mordechai and Eretz Yisrael were inseparable. The Gemara says, it brings the Gemara and Megillah. He went to Galus. The Vilnagad says that he went into Galus three times. He went into Galus by Yechaniah, King Yechaniah. When King Yechaniah was deposed, and he was replaced, and Mordechai was taken to Bavel. Mordechai couldn't bear being away from Eretz Yisrael. He escaped. He escaped. We don't hear too much about this. It's not mentioned beforehand in the Pesukim. How many people ran back to Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael wasn't. No, that's when they were given permission. Mordechai escaped.
Didn't
Yonah
sneak back in and go to
the temple? Yonah snuck past the guards that were guarding the 10 tribes. That was way before. Now we're talking about after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Mordechai had to go from another Kambaval to Eretz Yisrael. And he got back. Then, the first time Mordechai was exiled was before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But it was after Yerushalayim was captured. The kings that were kings then were puppet kings. Then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
Yechaniah was the first one.
Yechaniah was the first Galus. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So he got put into Galus again. Then the days of Koresh, when they gave permission to go back, he went back again. And he was thrown back into Shushan a third time. So every single time he was thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, he ran back. And that's why the Pasuk is telling us, with all these girls and to show you the attachment of Mordechai with Yerushalayim. Okay, I think that's all for today. Mitzvah will continue tomorrow. Shkeach.